I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
Anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arm is kind of rash. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Welcome back to the podcast, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you spending your Tuesdays or whatever day you're listening to with us. But these are dropped on a Tuesday, and if you're so kind as to listen, the very moment that they come out, we thank you. Madeline, how are you? You just got back from a not-so-great weekend, huh?
Yeah, I know. It was a sad week last week. My grandfather passed away.
Condolences on, obviously I've said them to you, but on behalf of the podcast.
Thank you.
UCB family in general.
he was 94 and sort of in the grand scheme of deaths, it was, you know, he was pretty happy and healthy up until the end. He eventually sort of sealed the deal was that he had fallen and he needed a hip surgery, and then it was just, you know, the hip surgery was he made it through the surgery, but then his heart shut down afterwards. So
it seems pretty common.
Yeah.
I remember when my grandma died, she broke her arm. She fell, broke her arm, and then was in a convalescent center and got an infection that led to pneumonia.
Yeah.
And it's just the older you get, the harder, I guess, it is to recover from things that, you know, as a young person, you would say are minor. Nothing's minor. It's just that, you know, I guess in our youth, we have an easier time overcoming sickness because we're supposed to keep living for a really long time.
Yeah.
And then you get into your 90s and, not joking at all. It's just you have less, there's less within you to fight with.
Yeah. It's everything. Everything can be a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really can.
Yeah.
And it is.
But it was, so all the sadness aside, it was it was very cool to see the way his life was celebrated. Because I'm from my dad. This is my dad's dad. Mm-hmm. And it's a very big family. My grandpa was one of 10. My dad was one of 5. There are 20 grandchildren and 20 great grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
So this funeral was enormous. And, you know, people from their retirement home came, people from sort of all areas of my grandpa's life came. Everybody wore pink because he had this pink jacket that he wore to over 20 weddings.
In my head, I thought you were going to say that he wore to 20 funerals.
Yeah.
And it was just wildly inappropriate.
Yeah.
And so they were just like, well, we're going to return the favor. Grandpa Madeline, that's what everyone referred to him as.
My grandpa's name was Madeline. And it was just like, it was very cool. Like somebody said, I described his funeral to a friend who said, like, I'm actually going to read. It was just like phrased so perfectly that I'm going to read it. You can cut out this part of me just scrolling through my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Just like how amazing it is to live that clear and full of a life that everyone knows just how to celebrate you when you go. You know, that
that's very nice.
To me, like, just that, like, that's exactly what it was. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, he just, like, lived with, like, he was a guy who was, like, always joking, always laughing, always, like, you know, doing something truly silly. He was, like, one of the silliest people
mm-hmm.
I've ever met.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You know, and just, like, and everybody just knew exactly what the right way to, like, celebrate
mm-hmm.
him and honor him was going to be. And that, like, to be that sort of understood, I think is yeah. pretty remarkable.
And just if you get to a certain age, people are much more comfortable celebrating your life as opposed to mourning your passing.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was the same. Yeah. Same with when my grandma died, the one that I just mentioned a second ago. My brother and I had come from California when she got sick, and then she didn't end up recovering. Mm. But we never had a chance to go back to where our things were and say, for instance, collect, you know, a black suit to wear to the funeral. So a lot of us didn't have appropriate clothing for a funeral. So what we ended up doing was buying as many Detroit Tigers t-shirts as we could because my grandma was like the world's biggest Detroit Tigers fan. And we all wore Tigers hats and Tigers t-shirts. And then I gave a little eulogy that analogized her death to a story involving a Detroit Tigers losing streak that that ended up culminating in their winning a game as she was passing, and it was just a nice story. It was one of those things where you look for an opportunity to find symbolism in a person's passing,
yeah.
and it was pretty easy to find, and sort of not all that dissimilar from what you were describing with the pink. There's just like there's a way that we can say, all right, you know, but one of the things about wearing black to a funeral is that we all look exactly the same, mm-hmm. and we're all agreeing that this is the tone and tenor yeah. of this mourning
yeah.
process.
Yeah.
And then in this, it's just like you guys decided that pink was the better
yeah.
was the better tone and tenor, and in our case it was that there was a very obvious symbolism involving the Tigers. Like, why wouldn't we celebrate the symbolisms that mattered most yeah. to the people that we cared about the most?
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think so too. This was my first. I have not been to many funerals.
Yeah.
I've been to some, but this was.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so it was. I kind of, in a funny way, didn't know what to expect,
yeah.
you know, because the last time I'd been to a funeral, I was like much younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, it was just a really moving ritual to observe, you know, and just like watching like my brothers and all the grandkids, mm-hmm. all the grandsons were pallbearers. And,
oh, yeah.
That's
so great.
15 of them.
Oh, wow.
A lot of boys.
It's a lot of pallbearers.
Yeah. It's a lot of pallbearers. And just the thing that like made me cry the most, I think, was just like watching all of them in there, like everybody had hot pink bow ties and,
yeah, yeah.
you know, and just seeing like all of these like grown up men who like this person sort of created and mm-hmm. had a hand in raising all of
yeah.
them, you know, it was just like very, just very powerful.
Definitely. I mean, you're yeah. basically talking about 15 younger versions of the person that they're carrying,
yeah,
you know, in to a grave,
yeah. And he was just like such a good dad and such a good grandpa, and such a like just a family man to the end, and family meaning pretty much any, but like
right.
to him, like you know, like so, like a nurse at the retirement home was family, or like
yeah.
you know, any like every anybody's like girlfriend or boyfriend who they. You know, brought mm-hmm. to visit was family. Like he was just like
it's beautiful,
just such a truly welcoming person. And so it was just like really, it was cool to just see that in such a tangible way. It was.
What was your grandpa's first name?
Richard, but he went by Dick.
Okay, Dick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Grandpa Dick, definitely dying salutes you.
Yeah.
And I say this with absolute sincerity. Sometimes people think I'm joking when I'm not. I'm not joking at all. We're all definitely dying, but not everyone definitely lives. And it sounds
yeah.
like your grandpa led a great life. And rest in peace, Grandpa Dick.
Yeah, he sure did.
Should we start the podcast?
Let's do it.
Great.
Great guest with us. We have Kevin Porter. He's one of the co-hosts of the wildly popular Gilmore Guys podcast. So I'm personally very nervous because this is a big-time podcaster. we're here with a big boy.
We're all podcasters. All podcasters were created equal.
I don't know.
But we don't finish that way.
You podcast about a show people love. We talk about... things we're afraid of and scary illnesses. So.
But which do you think is more practically helpful for people? You know what I mean?
Like neither.
Probably,
neither.
Yeah.
They're equally valueless.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
We'll all die alone.
Do you feel like your audience and your listenership is like the hypochondriac or people who are just like obsessed with death? Like
some of each.
Yeah, a little bit of each. Bit of yeah, okay. yeah. Some like I feel like it's a pretty good hypochondriac yeah. audience.
And definitely, I think definitely your fair share of people that are like, hey, listen to those idiots. You know, yeah. like like if you could be on the complete other end of the spectrum from hypochondria. They're just like, huh. There are some people that are really afraid of everything, and then yeah. they listen to us, and they feel better about themselves.
Oh, yeah, it just reinforces yeah. their yeah. superiority.
That's exactly.
Yeah, that's we're like a reality show where yeah. you watch, and you're like, I'm yeah, so yeah. much better than them.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, I'm so much better than those two scared right. idiots.
I know. Yeah. I really struggled with that in the last season of The Bachelorette. Just like, those guys, they were just so dumb. Yeah. They were just so
dumb. Are you
dumb.
An avid...
No, just yeah. these last two seasons with Ben and JoJo. But it's really created in me... a sadness that I've never known before yeah. for all of them because like yeah it's sad it's exploitative. Watch Unreal on Lifetime, guys.
I love it. Oh, I'm savoring the
Chris
last...
Harrison hates it. The host of The
of
Bachelor.
Of course, because also the host character on Unreal is so wonderfully stupid. He's so stupid. Everybody hates him, and yeah. that's the whole deal of that character mm-hmm. is he's simply so dumb and nobody likes him.
I love it.
Yeah, my husband Ben and I are watching. We're watching the second season.
How often does she bring up that she has a husband on every episode?
I really
want people to know I have a husband. Guys,
we haven't found it.
And it's always helpful that his name is the exact same as mine, and it just confuses the audience.
Ben, oh, it's a prefix on the show.
Ben.
Yeah,
Ben. This is a different Ben.
And you didn't want to go by like Benny or something, yeah. because that would have been
so that she can get in stories about her husband who's not on the podcast. No, I'm not changing my name for that reason.
Benny boy over here.
Well, my husband, Ben, is actually how we met you.
That's or, yeah. true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like, you got to have Kevin Porter on the podcast.
He pitched me?
Oh, yeah, that's so he was like, you got to have him. And then he was like, I love you so much. We're having such a nice life together.
Oh, boy. By the way, this is forever.
Kevin, so we like to get started with a pretty, lighthearted, breezy question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you say you fear death?
Ooh, 1 to 10 scale. I like this question. I'm gonna give it a 6 because I don't think about death every day in a fearsome way. And sometimes, like probably both of you have talked about before, mm-hmm. sometimes I crave it. And sometimes I'm just like, is it today? Right. Every time I'm on a plane, I'm just like, maybe today's the day. The landing gear won't work right. or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It'll be a
is that a day
situation.
When you crave, do you crave it on a plane or you're afraid of it on a plane?
No, I'm not afraid of it on a plane. Like, I'm fine. Like,
you
never,
hate flying so much? You're
well,
like, I'll
I've
die.
Never, I've never, exactly. I don't have to do TSA if I switch planes. Yeah. But yeah, I don't have an active fear of death. I have a fear of death in the sense that death means it's the end of what you were able to accomplish. But actually dying, I'm like, I'm down for it. Like, I'm yeah. fine with it. I think for the most part, like, I don't have, like, what if I die? Like, I just think about the consequence of, like, if it should happen before my parents die and how horrific that would
yeah.
be.
Yeah. yeah.
Or just, like, leaving anybody hanging.
Sure,
but,
sure, sure.
But yeah. right now, like, yeah. if my parents, they're both still alive. I said that like, well, I guess they're still alive.
Last you checked.
But if they were dead, and yeah. I would have so much less of a fear.
Oh,
of death
yeah, yeah.
Because the grief of like, I mean, I have a yeah. brother and a sister, but I feel like that would be such a lesser grief.
No,
than
definitely.
That of a parent for a child, you know?
So, oh, yeah.
So I guess I don't fear that much.
Oh, but a sibling death would also be pretty
well,
horrible.
No, it would be.
yeah, yeah.
It would yeah. be, but that is so much more... I feel like a part of the design of life to like, yeah, like you're probably going to bury a sibling.
Oh,
yeah,
once
sibling.
You're old, yes. Yeah,
yeah
I was
you know
kind
what
of
I mean?
Thinking, I was sort of thinking.
You're probably going to yeah. bury a sibling.
Well, yeah, at some point, yeah.
Probably, or they're going to bury you.
I hope not.
But
I hope right. I die first out mm-hmm. of everybody in my age
how many
group.
How many siblings do you have?
I have two younger yeah. brothers.
Oh
my God, if one of them died, I would lose
Shoot.
My fucking mm-hmm. mind.
But they're young, so and women live longer, so it's gonna even out
for right you,
I think.
So we'll all
just do a murder yeah. suicide all at once.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I can't, like, it would bright like just well I went this is kind of sad but okay I went to my grandfather's funeral on Monday this week. On 3 days
this
ago.
This is fresh.
Yeah, yeah, it's very fresh.
And Did you go with your husband, Ben?
Yeah, I went with my husband, Ben. We're married. Yes. We will be forever.
Okay.
So my grandfather was, he lived like a very long, happy life. He was 94 when he died. And
good run.
Yeah, and was just like, you know, pretty much like happy till the end.
So no, like mental illnesses or any degenerative?
He had a little bit. He had like I was actually just, he lived in Cleveland and I was there just 3 weeks ago. Sort of very luckily, like I just went out to visit them just to hang for a weekend. And a nurse came in and she was looking at his charts and she was like, well, you just got a little bit of everything, don't you? Like he had like a little bit of Parkinson's, a little bit of dementia.
What a delightful nurse this
is,
by the way.
I know. She was like, well, you just got a little bit of everything.
What a potpourri.
Yeah. But he was remarkably with it for having a little bit of everything. You know, like last time I saw him 3 weeks ago, he was wheeling my grandma around in her wheelchair and like running down the hallways of their like retirement home. Like I just found like when we were looking at pictures for the funeral program, I found this like awesome photo of him just dressed as a lady like last Halloween at the retirement home.
It was
like
a transparent theme party.
Yeah, I know. He was just like, it's Halloween. It was very funny because my grandma was dressed as a witch and he was dressed as a lady. So it was just like, but
your grandparents sound rad.
They really are. They're truly the best. But it was interesting because I was, you know, being at a funeral made me think about how I will act at one of my parents' funerals, which hopefully will be a long time away.
Months and months, at least.
And I was like, holy sh-. Like, just thinking about that made me so sad. But also, I should be at their, like, but any other, if I'm not at one of my parents' funerals, that's much worse. Because it means that I've died before one of my parents.
Or you're in a fight with them.
Right, yeah.
And you're like, no.
Or I'm like,
not even death.
I'm not going. I just get, or I'm so destitute that I can't buy
a
plane
ticket.
Get there.
Back. Oh, that's so sad. Yeah. No, you would GoFundMe that shit in a minute.
Yeah.
And people would pay.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now, is there a parent that either of you, I'll pose this to the panel, is there a parent you wish would die first? If you had to choose.
Oh, my gosh. No.
When I say wish would die first, let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
let me put it this way. Is there a parent that you think should die first for the mental health of the other parent being able to take it?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, for instance, my grandma died like a month or 2 months ago.
Okay.
And now my grandfather's like, I don't know what to, because she just, like, it was from that time where it's like, she just did everything. And like to the point where he's just like this infantilized 86-year-old man. Yeah, which is super common. It's super common that the men just don't live that long if they're widowers after a certain age.
Yeah.
So is there a parent, like, could you see, I think my mom would actually do okay if my dad died first or vice versa?
My parents are divorced, so they don't care if each other
died. Oh, okay. Trick question. Like,
so,
you hacked it.
That's a death hack, not a life hack.
I'm fairly certain that I've heard each of them mention wishing the other one would die. No, I think, you know, I think as a guy, the feeling would be like, protect the mom, sacrifice the dad.
Save the cheerleaders.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Save the mommy, kill the dad. But my mom's actually pretty sick. So then there's the part in my head that's like, well, but would that be saving her from a little bit of suffering, as opposed to dad, who, if he dies, it's going to be the biggest suffering going on at the time, you know, like he's not living. I mean, he is, you get to a certain age and you just start, like with your grandfather, Madeline, you just start accumulating a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And then just one of those everythings is the one that gets you, you know? So my dad doesn't necessarily have the one that's going to get him. Mm-hmm. So then to think in my head, like, do I want to give my dad the thing that's going to get him? Or just my mom, who's suffered for, God, like almost 30 years with multiple sclerosis, would I just say, okay, at a certain point, let's, like, she knows what it's going to be. And the suffering ends. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm going to kill them both because...
Wait, what? That wasn't the question.
I'm going to kill them both.
Who you're
going
to kill.
I'm not going to the funeral because I'm too destitute. And also...
Because you'll be in jail because you killed
them. No, I'm going to get away with it.
You're the new Stephen Avery.
Yeah, and I just feel like I got a lot going on and it's not my responsibility. That's how I feel like my brother is going to be, like, if he has a gig, because my brother's a DJ. If he's got a gig, it's just like, hey, it's not on me to bury him.
Sorry, guys. It's ladies' night at the Roxy.
Exactly. Yeah.
I really, that is the... That's the worst conflict for a funeral, I think, possible. A DJing gig.
I know. Especially because my express orders are for there to be a drum and bass DJ at my funeral.
Did you guys watch the Emmys this weekend where Julia Louis-Dreyfus gave it up for her father that just passed away?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So she won her Emmy Sunday, and her dad died Friday.
Oh.
And at the end, because, you know, like, it's just, she just said, this one's for my dad. Oh. He passed away on Friday. It was so, like,
did
fresh
she
and
cry?
Real.
Yeah. Of course.
Oh, and it was just like, oh, Julia.
That makes me,
it's going to be okay. Yeah.
It's heartbreaking that her father didn't get to see her win her sixth Emmy.
I know. He went to the grave.
He was
not
probably like,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I don't want to talk about
that's probably
the
why
Emmys
he died.
Again. I'll just die.
No, she did say, oh, he loved Veep and his was the opinion that mattered. So it's funny to think about, like, her dad in probably his 80s or 90s being like, I love the, when they say cocksucker or whatever. It's just like this, like, insanely crash show.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things, you know, my dad.
Husband? Okay.
Yeah, no, my dad. I have a dad.
Also named Ben.
Yeah.
What? Is that true?
No, it's not true.
Okay.
His name is Rick. Same name as my husband's dad's name, though.
Ooh,
is that
Rich
first?
And Rick. Yeah, we were like, our dads have the same name.
Let's get married.
We gotta get married.
Oh, that was probably a fun wedding reception. Let's Rickroll. Everyone on the floor named Rick. Never gonna give you up. That would have been fun.
Everybody, let's do the Ben Bob. Let's do the Ben Bob.
I will say, I think just like through various social media, I've seen a lot of pictures of your reception, and it looked like a fun time.
It was.
It looked good.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun. Mm-hmm. We had a really good time.
I'm sorry, you were talking about Rick, and I got you.
Yeah, so my dad, Rick. When my grandfather was still alive, like, so he, whenever he goes to visit them, he'll always just show them endless videos of, like, every single anything I've done. Like, he's shown them just, like, a number of, like, I did a commercial for, I mentioned it on this podcast, for vaginal cleansing wipes. He was like, you got to show that to grandma and grandpa. Mm-hmm. And he showed them a rough cut with, like, an unmixed rough cut of a full feature length film that I shot. And like truly, like, I can't, like, they fell asleep watching, like, a 3-minute sketch video I tried to show them. Like, and he made them watch this, like, full rough movie where, like, it's like, it's a great movie. I'm really proud of it, but it's not for an older generation. It's like, you know, it's like a movie for people our age, and it's like, you can, like, pretty much see my boobs in it a couple times. There's full frontal male nudity in it, like sweet. And I, so that's funny to me that that's like,
this is
one
a pretty
of,
good plug for this movie.
Yeah, you want to see a little, you want to see a penis, you want to kind of see my boobs.
Yeah.
It really is a great movie. It's, we have talked about it on this podcast also because my co-star Mookie Blakelock was on the podcast.
Oh.
It's a movie called Cold War. I'm accidentally plugging
it
right now.
I thought it was Freak Dance 2. Yeah. Matt
Besser tries again. But it's funny to me that that's like one of the last, that like one of my, in my grandfather's like last month of life, he had to watch a rough cut of a movie.
So good.
Yeah.
Not your grandpa's full frontal nudity.
But so what if that was his very favorite movie?
Yeah,
he ever
probably
saw.
Was.
Yeah. I don't think
at that
so.
Point.
Well, I mean, yeah.
He forgot all the others.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just, you know, I mean, how good are movies that you wouldn't prefer the one that your granddaughter was in? I mean,
that's true.
Movies are fun
so
and
true.
Everything,
it's
but
true,
I mean, come
but
on.
Like, you wanna,
but
yeah.
Is your granddaughter
right,
in the
exactly.
Magnificent Seven?
No.
Well, we don't know.
No,
it
we
hasn't
don't know,
come
yeah.
out.
That
yeah, might be a spoiler. So I might be in it.
Madeline's on the cutting room floor of Magnificent Seven.
Can I ask kind of a bummer question?
Yeah, please
do.
Please, okay. I love a bummer
so,
question.
As a married woman,
yes.
Would you prefer that Ben die first and you bury him, mm-hmm. or that you die first and he buries you?
I would like to die first.
Yeah.
But this is the big, I mean, we've had, we have fought about this because Ben would absolutely like to die first.
What? How do you fight about, like?
Well, sort of.
What?
Yeah. We disagree about this. Yeah. Because both of us would very much like to die first.
Okay. See, I.
But, and we also will argue about, like, I'll be like, if I die, like, you gotta, like, if I die, like, you gotta, like, get a new girlfriend. You gotta move on. Like, you have to, like, have a nice life, you know? Like, oh, if I, yeah, like,
he
yes,
does not have to do
yes,
that.
Yes, and he'll be like, if you die, I'll never laugh again. No. Like, you gotta, like, if I die, you gotta, like, pull it together and have a nice rest of your life. He's like, nope, I'll never laugh
again.
Well,
it depends on where he is. Yeah. Like, he could, like... Yeah. You know, how Stella got his groove back into his 60s if it was, like, an unfortunately, like,
yes,
early time.
Exactly. I think,
which,
like,
by the way, if that's true, then they should play this audio at the funeral and be like, wow, it's like she knew. It's like she knew.
I told him, well, I think being around funerals, like, you know, you end up talking about funerals. And I, one of the things I said, if I die, I would like a funeral roast. I think that would be fun.
That'd be great.
What about you guys? What do you have any, like, if you had to plan... If you were to, this is kind of a bummer question also, if you were to die in the next month and you had to give me your funeral plans, what would they be?
Ooh. Wait, I'm making plans for my own funeral?
Yes. Well, 'cause you have
to.
I mean,
plan,
like,
everything.
You have to. You plan your, I mean, my grandparents have their whole funeral planned.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were very efficient, very, like, forward thinking.
They're old.
People. Yeah. And they were like, we're obviously, like, we're neither of us will continue to live forever, so we'll make it easy on you and, like, plan this.
Wherein I don't feel like any of us are convinced that we won't live forever.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's kind of an interesting... That's why I think, yeah.
We're going to live till, like, our hundreds, though, is the unfortunate truth.
Yeah. Oh, so very unfortunate.
But I do think... Okay, so my family is, like, not big on ceremony at all. Mm-hmm. My brother got secret married. Like, he did a thing where they got engaged in December and then got married in June and invited everyone to an engagement party. Mm-hmm. And then it was just a wedding.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then my sister eloped. And then for my grandmother, she didn't want a funeral, so we didn't do one.
Yeah.
And same for my grandfather. And my mom's like, yeah, when I die, just wrap me in newspaper and toss me in Galveston Bay. It'll be fine. So, like, for us, like, we're
wrap
very...
Wrap me in newspaper.
I mean, or she said, like, donate my body to science. I'm like, really?
Gosh. Yeah.
So, like, we're not big on ceremony, but if I had to plan something that was, like, interesting, and the time frame is a month.
Yes.
So I die October 21st.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it can be a memorial. So, like, it doesn't have to... it can be anything you want, yeah.
I think I would record a video every day. I would do, like, a selfie video. I'd be like, hey, guys, if you're watching this, I'm gone. Sorry. I would address everybody.
Yeah.
But then I would call people out in good and bad ways.
What?
Yeah, so I would be like, hey, Chelsea, I love you. You are my best friend. Also, this, you know, smelled weird when you did this. Like, but just all the things about a person.
Not like the worst things about her, just like moments that because you were going to have to live and see this person repeatedly, you just sort of let linger.
Yeah. Well, now it's like, to eulogize all my friends and family.
Oh, gotcha.
In each of those videos, in those 30 videos.
Whoa. Yeah. And so it'd be very long. You're keeping their people there for a long time.
Well, no, I would record them and then I'd make them available on, like, little flash drives that people can take at the end of the ceremony. But then for, like, the actual video, no, I would cut it down to, like,
you'd
the greatest, like, 6 minutes or whatever.
I gotta say, your funeral has one of the best gift bags I've ever heard of.
Yeah, the swag bag.
Yeah, swag bag.
Are you going to the Vanity Fair after party for this funeral?
Nah, I think I'm gonna hit Kevin's funeral.
I have to say, it does sound like you're trying to create a viral funeral. Is that
I didn't even think about that.
Well,
that would
be a viral funeral. Right. I mean,
okay.
I'm just saying it would.
Now I'm interested.
Died as he lived. Viral.
I did think about, like, when I was a kid, I should record a video every year, boyhood style.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, I guess I'm dead, guys. You know, just in case.
Sure, just in case.
Just in case.
I do have a folder on my desktop on my computer that says if I die. And there's, like, little letters to people.
Wait. Written
in
there. Oh, really?
That's true. Yeah. When but I haven't done videos or anything.
Just
wait, no, but this
them.
Is fascinating to me. When did you write these?
I started it last year. And I've only written, like, 2.5 in there, but I want to build it out. So hopefully, you know, because you never, it could be today. I could walk out on Sunset and just like get, you know, get gunned down, get hit by a car or whatever.
Could get gunned down.
Or, yeah, either.
What inspired you to do that last year? Like, what made you want to write your first
I guess just
letter.
Thinking about it all the time. Because while I'm not afraid of it, I do kind of obsess over it.
See, okay, so I'm starting to... So, to me, it feels like you might be higher than a six. Someone with a letter of... A file of If I Die letters...
It's, but that's so still not fear. That's
no,
just
no,
like
you're right.
knowledge.
You're right. So
it,
right? How much do you would you think about? So I get.
Yeah, that's the new question.
How much would you think about death?
Well, you know how they say men think about sex once every 7 minutes?
Yeah.
Double that for me with death. I don't know.
Once every three and a half minutes.
Twice every 7 minutes. I don't know. I mean, probably once every other day.
Who are your letters to? Which ones have you gotten?
Ooh.
Which ones have you gotten to?
Okay, there's one. There's one to a friend of mine, Alyssa, and there's one to my mom, I think. It's really not built out, but the folder does exist if I die.
What's, like, the nature of the letters? Like, meaning, like, is it like, unresolved stuff? Is it, like, saying goodbye?
It is some unresolved stuff.
So this could be kind of like your ghost file. Like, if you die and you're still, like, lingering in the earthly plane, now we can read these files and know what it is that you still have to work through
exactly.
in order to become...
How I can be free.
Right. In order to go to hell and become a devil.
Yeah, exactly. The goal is hell. The goal is devildom. It's what we're all aiming for. I just want to be a little devil.
A devil? Because that's what happens when you go to hell. Everybody turns into a devil.
If you once
hell
you,
is just a bunch of devils really enjoying themselves.
Once you've completed all of the bad things that you were supposed to do on Earth, then you get to go to hell and be a devil.
Turn into
just a little devil.
I think you got a spec pile over here.
Hell is just heaven for devils.
Yeah.
And it's called Lil Devils.
Lil Devils, yeah.
Not little, but no, little.
Lil.
An apostrophe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You little stinker.
I mean, I think most of the 2.5 or whatever, like, it's like positive stuff for the most part, but stuff where it's like, oh, it might cross a boundary to say this at this point, or I don't know, like, not even like, I've always loved you, or stuff like
right,
that,
right, right.
But I'm trying to think, I wonder if, no, I don't
Can
have
you,
any on my phone.
You don't?
I don't.
Oh,
I'm
I
sorry.
Wish you did.
No, because it's in a, it's in a different program.
I wish you did too, but I also know that, like, these aren't supposed to be read. While you're alive.
Oh, I wouldn't read them. I would just look and be like, oh, man.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, look at that. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I hope we have a good enough time on this podcast that you go
you
home and
it?
You write and you write us a letter.
Today I thought I was just recording an episode of the podcast. What I didn't know is that I would be recording. Well, and I do think about this, too. I do think about this, too, where, like, for my own podcast, at this point we have, like, 193 episodes in the can. Which our podcast goes way too long, so it comes out to about 330 hours of content. And it's one of those things where it's like, oh, we've talked about death a bunch on this show.
Yeah.
And just the idea of, like, people now who have had podcasts, like, when you eulogize them or when they go, like, there's just going to be so much of you just like, I mean, I unfortunately think about it in the sense of, like, I feel like Harris Whittles
was
a part
thinking of that
first wave where it's like, man, we can just listen to pretty
much
unfiltered him for all these hours on Bang Bang and other shows that he would do.
Yeah.
And think about, like, when the real giant, I mean, you know, Marin or whatever, but think about, like, when Tompkins passes away, hopefully, like, 89 years from now, or, like, Ackerman and those guys, and people who've just been doing it for forever will have so much that it's just like, oh, this is just, like, listening to him. And I think about, like, oh, I would have loved to have heard, like, my parents at a young age just like, talking into a recorder just to, like, get their voice. Because, like, you can see pictures, and it's like, oh, look at those funky clothes, but you don't really get a good sense of who the person is. Whereas I feel like with a podcast, like, if you and Ben have kids and then they listen to this like 40 years from now, they'll be like, wow.
I'll be like, what a whiny lady.
Mom
she
was a bitch. I'm just kidding.
She talked really loud and really emphatically about a chapstick she doesn't like. I don't really like her as much as I thought I did.
You know what? Funeral plans off. Let's dump her in the Galveston Bay newspaper.
Look, it's not my responsibility to bury Mom.
I have to play a show. I'm a DJ.
It is weird when you think, because, you know, like, moms would say that thing, or dads, they would be like, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. But that's not true. They bring you into this world and then we take them out. We dump them
also,
in the...
Great
in the
phrase all the way around is, I'll kill you.
I can take you out.
Not, maybe that's not I brought you into this world.
No, it is.
I can take you out of it.
But no, you can't. I mean, you can, but you go to jail forever.
Only after 18. Up until that, children are a possession.
I'm reading a book. Oh, I'll plug a book. I'm reading a book about parents who murdered their kids.
Is it the Bible? that's a lot of it.
Hey, that's a great singer on the Bible.
Sig Bible burn. Old Testament style. Come
Bible
on.
You burnt. You burnt.
You burnt.
We're here to burn the Bible, folks. We are here to burn the Bible.
Like the bush in Exodus.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a book. It's called The Long Shadow of Small Ghosts. And it's a book that one of my best friends, Laura Tillman, wrote. And she's a journalist,
right.
And she wrote it about... Oh, yeah, you were at that reading.
I prefer to think of it as a thingy.
No,
but,
were at that thingy. About these parents in... a really poor town in Texas who murdered all three of their children. And
True story. Okay.
Yeah, wow. It's about, the book is kind of about the building where it happened and, like, the politics around, like, what to do with this building because, like, people are, like, a horrible thing happened in this building.
Too spooky.
We
want to
tear it down. And
yeah,
it's
but
really...
terrible thing. You know how many terrible things probably happen in this building we're recording in right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
In the bathroom 5 minutes before you guys got here.
Yeah.
In 401. Upstairs. Like, someone's being a weird teacher and
they
talking
really
to
should
one
demolish
of the students
it.
Too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, it's really interesting because a lot of the book are, like, these letters that the father wrote because, like, my friend... corresponded with him over a long period of time, and just hearing him talk so lovingly about these children who he killed, it's really like
that's jacked up.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
But hey, we hear about, I mean, not necessarily the children part of it, but I mean, we hear about crimes of passion all the time.
Yeah.
That, like, it isn't always, you know, a feelings of constant anger that lead us to do crazy things. Sometimes it's loving someone just too much. I mean, I'm not saying it's a regrettable thing, absolutely, but you definitely hear a lot about it, and I can see how, you know, how a person could get. I don't know if maybe I should say I could see how a person could get to the point where they killed their family, but I could see how, like,
taste.
Yeah, exactly.
Feel
yeah.
It.
I could. I mean, I could be present for it for just a few bucks if you just allow me. I don't know. It just seems like there are all these different ways in which crimes of passion could come into existence. And that's just, like, one of them, I would imagine, especially given that we live in this, like, age of divorce. You know, it's more than 50% at this point. And, like, if you lost your family and, like, you felt like you were isolated and you were alone. It really sounds like I'm justifying this, and I'm not. But I'm just saying, like, I can understand why people do insane things and that, like, that I don't think that just doing an insane thing makes you unworthy of sympathy. But obviously, you know, everyone's a person. And we do insane things sometimes. Mm-hmm. But if you're out there and you're listening and you're thinking about killing your family, just know that I say don't do it. I want to make that clear at the end of this statement because I could feel it spiraling and I didn't know how to get it back. But
like, you spiral to the point where you lose control of your message so much that you're like, yeah, kill him if you want.
This is the clip. This is the one isolated clip played at your funeral.
TMZ.
Ben Axelrod was a person who could understand why someone would kill their family.
Let's roll that clip.
Right. This eulogy.
Your funeral was a clip show.
Yeah, it would be. Mine would have to be because my brother has a drum and bass DJing gig and he couldn't make it to do my eulogy.
Of the soup style.
And it's just like,
yeah.
Joel McHale's clips. Like, so then Madeline did a Vagisil commercial. Let's roll that beautiful bean footage. Yeah. I would love that. That's
one of Grandpa's favorites.
Well, because it is. Guys, funerals are boring. I haven't been to one in a while, but.
They're not great.
They're like, oh, we
so
get
your grandmother
it.
Didn't have one. Did you do anything?
No.
Did you, like,
we cremated
get together?
Her.
And But to get, I mean. Did you do
we
anything?
We all shoved
sort
her
of
into
thing?
The cremator.
Did you, like, get, like, sit in a living room and say, like, here were the things she liked?
No, because she didn't like that much.
No. just the cremator.
Well, it was one of those things, like, I think it's fine to talk about. But, like, she, in particular, was the fulcrum of a lot of familial conflict.
Yes.
In the sense of, like... So my mom is one of two kids. The other one is out here, and he's kind of worthless as far as, like, doing stuff for the family goes.
Yes, yeah.
And so it all fell on my mom, who she always lived like three blocks away from my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother, not a big fan of my mom. For what reason? I don't know. Other than she was a girl. Like she, my grandmother had this weird thing against women, which was so bizarre. So there's three of us grandkids on, from my mom. And she preferred our firstborn, the oldest, Kyle, my brother, way more than me and my sister, which was fine for me because I didn't get like the blowback of it.
Sure.
But then she would be like straight up like mean, hostile towards my sister. Because I think because it was just like a, it was just a woman thing. I think she just resented women from some age because I think my mom was my grandfather's favorite. So because of that, there was like a weird like absence of affection that she felt, blah, blah, blah. So like she would belittle my sister, like not even like in her 20s or in high school, but like when she was like two.
Or
my brother like just recently adopted this beautiful baby girl, my sweet niece. Hannah Page. But when you know, she got to see her a few times before she passed away. And one time, like, my nephew Jude, like, hit her in the face. It was an accident, but hit her in the face with a box. And she started crying, and she's like, oh, that didn't hurt that bad.
Like, mean?
Yeah, like...
Old people are... So jarring.
It is like, it feels like, especially in that sense, it was almost like a mathematical imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
If there's something against this boy, I must correct it by lifting him up, or like if this girl, like it was a weird, it felt like specifically gendered.
Yeah.
So, you know, she had a stroke last year, and then before she died, she was in essentially a coma for like 10 days.
Oh, wow.
10 days without water before she passed away, which was wild.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So like it was bittersweet because all that being said, she still did love us and love the family and just expressed it in wildly imperfect ways.
Yeah.
But then she also had like just like physical pain most of her life.
Yeah.
Like rheumatoid arthritis from like when she was in her 20s.
Yeah.
So
I can feel myself like I don't think I've become a mean person by any means, but I can feel myself getting meaner than I was at a certain point. I mean, just in the sense that I think that I maybe am. Less reticent about just expressing how I genuinely feel, and that sometimes that's not always going to be the nicest opinion. And yeah, I'm in my 30s, so you know, I mean, 50 more years of this, I could imagine myself being someone that a few people called mean. Like, I mean, it just happens sometimes. Also, like here I have a story about. I might have mentioned it on the podcast before about Madeline's husband Ben as well. That there was an incident. Ben and I sometimes will go to Cantor's Deli here in Los Angeles, a nice New York style Jewish deli on the
feels like home in
West Hollywood. Yeah, and so there was a time we went there and. We each ordered a sandwich. My sandwich came, and some like 10-15 minutes later, Ben's sandwich still hadn't come, and I got very frustrated on behalf of my friend, and I was like, "Where the fuck is your sandwich?" Just as
yelling
the waitress,
at Ben?
No, yeah, really, just like yelling out into the world, but yeah, directing it at Ben, who deserved it, obviously.
They haven't spoken.
They started crying that day,
and then the waitress was right behind me, putting Ben's sandwich down. She definitely thinks I'm a mean asshole. Like, it's just, that's the reality of things. And she's not wrong. She was just only right for a very small sliver. And it happened to be the sliver that she saw me. But as I get older, that sliver is going to get bigger and bigger.
And
until, like,
eventually it'll be 30 years long. You'll have deeply stunted several people in your life. So they are less happy adults because of it.
Right. And then there'll be like that one little sliver where I'm like nice to someone in public. Where just like, I'll say Gesundheit to someone. Yeah. And that'll be like the nice... I'll realize that's the nicest that I've been in months, you know? But the majority of the time at that point,
I'm just a
cocksucker.
It's just going to turn into a long wail of where's your sandwich.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Where the fuck is your sandwich?
It's going to be the underlying message. That's right. Everything you do and say is, where's your sandwich?
I think you discovered a pilot of your own in this.
Where's
my sandwich?
I'm listening to me. Sure.
So what's the what's the closest that you've yourself come to death?
Oh, I think, like what we were talking about before, when I had closed heart surgery.
Oh, yeah, that would count.
Yeah, because I've not been in any, like, death defi- I mean, what's funny about this question is the real answer might be, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you turn down this corner instead of that corner.
Sure.
Yeah, you could die. Like, anyone
That's
could
so
die.
That's so true.
But the most I've been aware of it was probably when I had closed heart surgery when I was 18 months old. I had something, I did text my mom because obviously my memory's not like great when I was 18 months old of what it was. She said I had something called patent ductus arteriosus, which means I had a duct that was pumping or allowing too much blood to go in my lungs.
Ooh.
So, oh, that's, yeah.
So my lungs were like working super hard to make sure that blood didn't fill them.
Yeah.
And so usually the duct closes on its own, but mine didn't. So I'd have surgery in August 26, 1990, apparently was the day. And she'd like, and then I was texting her about last night. She was like, yeah, I handed you over to the anesthesiologist. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to see my son.
Oh, my
gosh.
Oh.
Which is like a gnarly thought. Can you imagine?
No.
Being a parent
a baby.
Would suck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like not an ugly baby, too. No. I was pretty proud. Like,
oh, I
you
bet
know.
You were a cute baby.
Yeah.
You're a redhead.
Ties.
Redheads are
yeah.
a cute baby.
Wait, bow tie?
Cute babies.
Yeah.
Wait, what about bow ties?
No. Redheads are a cute baby.
like a cute, like A-C-U-T-E?
Cute
like,
baby.
Redheads suffer from a cute baby. That's a...
I'm sorry, sir. She has a cute baby. There's nothing we can do.
It's a case of acute baby-itis. This redhead is going to be a baby forever.
Yeah, man. And, you know, they weren't in the room when the surgery happened, but then my mom's cousin was also a surgeon, so he just went in there to watch and make sure everything was cool. And I do have a fun scar
really?
On my back still from the surgery.
Can I see?
Yeah, could we check it out?
Yeah, for the podcast, sure.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is
can I take a pic?
Every time.
And post it on the podcast?
Yeah, every time I do it, I forget which side it's on. Because it just, like, it doesn't hurt or anything. It's a scar.
Yeah, it's a scar. It's not still an open
So wound. You'll have to tell me which side it's
okay,
actually on.
Okay.
I'm ready right
All
now.
I'm going topless for this podcast. This
yeah, Kevin's taking his shirt right off.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, can I see it? Oh, yeah, that's Here's a good scar. Oh, that's a cool one.
It's not bad because it doesn't look like...
No, it looks impressive.
It looks like you got it, like someone knifed you or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could do like Heath Ledger as Joker and just make up a different story every
time.
Right, yeah.
I haven't decided to yet, but now I kind of want to.
Yeah, you really should.
So let's cut out all this part of the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you have that? What's that scar from?
Well, you know, there was this bear attack I heard about, so I drove the other direction. I got in a car accident, and the glass hit my hit my back, and that's how I got it.
Cool scar. Yeah, yeah. Cool, yeah. It's,
I was doing Kill Bill cosplay, and then I went home and fell on my glass coffee table.
None of these stories really speak to bravery or skill.
Not yet. Asking.
Where's that scar from?
It really is remarkable how fast cosplay can discredit a story.
Or a person.
Yeah.
One could argue.
So I was saving orphans from a burning orphanage in cosplay.
It was across the street from the Brony convention.
Not interested.
No, thank you.
You sound like a creep.
Yikes. So I think that's the closest I've been aware that I've come to death.
No, that's close.
Yeah. Do you think... So I feel like, you know, if that's a story you kind of grew up with, like you almost died when you were a baby, do you think that sort of subconsciously made you more aware of your own mortality? Like
the one that has... Because there was that when I was 18 months, but then when I was born, I've thought about this story for whatever reason a good amount, like in the last couple of years. I came out not breathing from my mom.
Oh,
so, like,
no.
It was the thing where the umbilical cord was wrapped around my neck.
Oh,
yeah.
And there was just, like, there's no oxygen. So I came out not breathing, not crying. It was a home birth. And it's like, when I think about the way my mom describes it, I guess, like, because it's weird to get, like, emotional about, like, and then I almost didn't live. Like, I feel like it's a weird thing to, like, place yourself. So I guess I just see it through my parents' eyes. Yeah. And they had just, she had miscarried a daughter a few years prior.
Oh.
So the way she describes it, she says, like, and then you came out, you weren't breathing. And I remember your dad just put his head down and just looked on the ground. Like, essentially, that like, might... grieving my death already.
Yeah.
And so the midwife, who sounds like a true badass, was like, it's okay. Just, like, talk to him. Just massage his chest and lungs. So my dad is, like massaging my lungs and talking to me like, hey, buddy, blah, 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 like, hoping I'm going to breathe.
Yeah.
And I eventually do, and I'm a miracle, and everything's
fine. You are a miracle.
But it was fairly dramatic way to come out. Yeah. Like, just, like, not breathing, and then, what's up, world?
Your dad talked you back to you. By the power of a parent's love, you were brought back
right?
to
yeah,
life.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't that wild?
That is powerful.
Yeah.
That's, like, the first thing that's ever made me want to be a dad, was just to see if I have the power to bring someone back to life. I mean, I'm not going to do anything bad to find out if, the like, if like,
you're
a dad...
You're really
like,
not making a good case.
You should chase
this
like, down.
Guys.
I want to like, be a father like, so I can exercise heroin.
I don't want to do anything bad, but if you just, like, stumble upon, like, a baby that's in bad shape, just, like, call me and see if I got the power.
Hi, my friend Ben really wants to see if he can touch a dying baby back to life. You mind if he just swings by and touches your baby?
We have slots for, like, reading. He wants to read a book to them. We don't. That's not
something
we do.
No, he would really like to see if he can sort of lay hands on your baby and talk him back to the living.
We got music hour on Thursdays at 8 a.m.
No, he's like a, you know, he's 6'3", 6'4", big man.
Wait,
can he touch
four?
Your baby?
6'4"? Yeah. Yeah. Send him right in.
Okay, great.
Hang up. We'll call Cedar Sinai.
I mean, guys, the children's hospital is not far from where
it's
we're
true.
Recording.
It's true. It's very close.
Are you allowed
close.
To give out the location where you're recording?
Yes.
Yeah. We're at UCB Sunset.
We're in the cancer wing at the Children's Hospital.
Boogie Woogie Avenue.
We're just here making wishes at the Children's Hospital. And
this would be so funny if it was recorded in the middle of a hospital.
Oh, how fun.
Or like, well, how fun?
Just what fun?
All the medical ghosts haunting. Like one of those old hospitals like that they shot Scrubs in
oh,
the valley.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, bunch of ghosts.
Right? Before, I think they're all torn
Donald
down
Faison
now.
Donald Faison is a ghost. Did you know?
I did. Well, his career is.
No, another
zing. Like, what am I doing
zingers
with my life?
Left and right. He zings for the Bible, a zing for Donald Faison.
Those are my two targets, Donald and the Bible.
Donald Faison's the one from Scrubs, right?
Yeah.
So he does that show Win Sanity on the Game Show Network. It's just a bad show in the vein of...
It sounds like a Win Butler fan show.
Yeah,
it's just people who like Arcade Fire.
Strangely, that would be a better show than the one that Donald Faison... And I did wonder, like, is it worse to be doing nothing and to have people saying, like, hey, what happened to Donald Faison? Or to know what happened to Donald Faison or whatever you pronounce
Maybe
his name.
Maybe he's just relaxing and enjoying his
money. Because I was going to say it depends on how much he's enjoying it.
Yeah. I don't feel he's enjoying it. Yeah. I don't think you can end up on a game show and – like, I think you could do a game show – and be happy. Yeah. But I think if you wanted to do something else and you ended up doing a game show, that can't be a fulfilling life,
well,
right?
I was on
Steve Harvey
on
seems very happy. Yeah.
Steve Harvey, no five finer words in the English language than I'm your man Steve Harvey. When he comes out there and introduces himself, it's just like I am not kidding when I say I have to have a certain amount of Steve Harvey in every
day.
I watch Family Feud every day.
This is such a bizarre fact about you.
That's like your meditation.
It is.
And you also meditate.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. At the same time.
I love
Om,
it.
Survey says om. Yeah. I love it.
On Let's Make a Deal.
Make a Deal, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I won a trip to Mexico on Let's Make a Deal.
Who hosts that? Is that Wayne
Brady?
That's Wayne Brady.
Oh. And he seemed hollow.
Did he? I get
just dead inside?
Nothing,
when the camera shut off. What happened?
Not even when the camera was on. I have never experienced such a chilling feeling because he truly looks through you.
Oh.
He won't look you in the eyes. Oh. He looks just like this, and he's smiling. He looks like just to the right of you, and you can tell there's nothing inside.
Yeah.
He's shut it down.
Wayne.
It was really sad. It was
he didn't make up a silly song about you and going to Mexico?
No, he didn't. He afterwards... We all I was with
we
my
all
brother,
prayed for him.
We were with a group of about five people, and we all went to dinner afterwards and just sat silently and ate.
Yeah.
It was
he
such
stole your soul.
A sad experience.
Let's make a deal.
Wow.
We were all just devil. Like,
yeah. Let's make a pact.
Tangibly depleted after
Holy
that experience.
Holy shit.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that's a real bummer.
That's what I'm saying is that I think going backwards like that, that one, I think there's a certain type of performer that ends up happening to, like that Howie Mandel is another example. Mm-hmm. Just like people that don't necessarily do a real great job of existing in society. And then you sort of, you go backwards and then you end up, you know, like he's supposed to have just crippling germophobia and obsessive compulsive disorder.
Have him on the podcast.
Yeah,
guys.
But we would. Like he was
Howie,
the first person I ever heard of doing the fist bump. Like before the fist bump was like the new handshake, he did it, and it was
as
like
if there's
you
no
creep.
Germs on the knuckles.
Right, I know. Because this is all I do.
Yeah. Vince's been licking his knuckles constantly between everything we've said.
Come on.
Really unsettling.
Let me bring your dead baby back to life.
It's a real knuckle licker over here. He'll touch your baby.
That sounds like
such a term for like a male caveman. Yeah. Just a real knuckle licker over here.
Like knuckle licker. I want to start a campaign to replace mouth breather with knuckle
licker. I like it.
It almost sounds like a Happy Days insult. Yeah, yeah. Like sit on it. You knuckle licker.
Folks out there, if you've got a story about the knuckle licker in your life, give us a hashtag knuckle licker. Get Kevin in on this.
I'll hashtag knuckle licker. Oh, yeah. Sure.
What's your Twitter handle?
Oh, I'm at Steve Jobs. Well, I wish. Someone probably does have that. Yeah. He's probably doing fun things.
I'd like
things
to see if I could bring Steve back.
I'm at Kevin T. Porter.
Kevin T. Porter. I think at Ben Axelrad. Maybe at Axelrad Ben.
You're not
one
sure?
of the two. One is at Axelrad Ben. One's at Ben Axelrad.
And you own both?
Oh, well, no. Just one's my Instagram and one's my Twitter. And I'm not exactly sure. Madeline, I know Madeline on Twitter is Madeline M. Walter. Mm-hmm. And on Instagram... just Madeline Walter?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. We're bad.
Yeah, we're not good at social media.
Who's Zig's looking it up. Yeah. Can we get confirmation?
Oh, we are definitely dying is we're where you
oh,
should
yeah.
check
oh,
it
oh, right.
Out.
Also,
both
at definitely dying.
At definitely
yeah,
dying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
All
we
three
have
of
a
us.
Whopping 127 okay, yeah. followers.
I'm at Ben Axelrad. Kevin's at Kevin T. Porter. Yeah. Madeline's at Madeline M. Walter.
Yes.
And this has been a waste of time.
Hillary Clinton's at Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, yeah.
McDonald's is at McDonald's.
Yeah, at McDonald's. Yeah.
It'd be funny if they couldn't get it, and it was like Mick_Donald's.
Yeah, like McDonald's 39. Oh. Like,
McDonald's Stan.
Kevin McDonald got McDonald's, and he just won't give it back up. Yeah.
Oh, if I was Kevin McDonald, I would not give that shit up.
No, you gotta take it. I mean, if I had known, I would have all kinds of Twitter handles if I had any sort of forethought.
I know.
I would own them all.
You'd get them all.
Do you think people make a lot of money selling them?
Yeah.
I bet, yeah.
To celebrities? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the website thing, people were definitely getting like, you know, five figures at least.
Yeah. Oh, I do find this funny because there was a little .com war like 10 or 15 years ago, whenever the internet first started existing. 15 years ago. But Bruce Springsteen could not get BruceSpringsteen.com.
Really? Oh.
So to this day, his website is BruceSpringsteen.net. Which I find
that is
delightful.
So
that's
probably
that
in
delightful.
Character. That's on brand
yeah.
for him.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Well, the computer factory shut down. And I couldn't get the .com. He's a treasure, guys. His new book, his memoir, Born to Run, out in bookstores next week.
Is that a true story?
That is true.
I would definitely get that.
You working for him?
He's doing, for some reason, a signing at the Grove, at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove.
Bruce Springsteen, oh my God. Boss, is doing a signing at a Barnes & Noble.
Why?
That's the .net
people
of bookstores.
People are going to buy it.
Yeah.
Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble.
Borders
the .net
was the
.biz.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Out of
Kevin, you want to play this game with us?
I would love to.
It's a good time to play the game, right?
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we've been talking a lot about death over the course of this. I don't know if it's exactly a game, but regardless.
Yeah. It's an activity.
It's an activity, yeah. Yeah. We're calling it the Pyramid of Tragedy.
Okay.
So we had talked about. So we both, all three of us have somewhat recently had, I guess you two have pretty recently had a grandparent die.
You too had a grandparent die?
I did.
Bono?
Yes, his grandfather, The Edge, died. No,
this one's for my grandfather.
The Edge is alive.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're all alive, I think.
Okay, I thought maybe The Edge had died and people were like, fuck 2016. And now they're alive.
No, they're relevant.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, no, they're forcing it on you. Third thing's a charm. There you go.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow. YouTube, the Bible.
Watch
Step
out.
Up.
The Holy Trinity of Satan.
Invite Kevin to your funeral. You will get roasted.
I would. If I die, real question. If I die in the next 3 years, would you facilitate a roast at my funeral roast?
Well, I would feel inappropriate doing that because I don't know you well enough to know who would be the best roasters.
Well, no,
someone else
can find the roasters, but will you host my roast?
Or at least
be
on the dais.
I would love to be a roaster. Well, I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. You can't understand what I mean, but you soon will. I feel like. So, I would love to. I would love to be a roast host.
Okay.
Roast master.
It's on record. If I die before September 22nd, 2019.
Yeah.
You gotta help with this.
I might bring in some ringers. I might get Norm McDonald up in there.
Oh, nice.
Cloris Leachman.
Oh my
Norm McDonald, Kevin McDonald, McDonald's McDonald.
Yeah, McDonald's.
Yeah. All the big
Ronald McDonald, because he is vicious.
Yeah.
and very funny. Very funny.
If I die in the next 3 years, someone's gotta play this, and don't get sad when you hear this.
Oh, it'll be hilarious.
It'll be hilarious. Yeah.
It'll be hilarious. Yeah. No, it'll be good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to this game.
Great.
This segment, this activity. The Pyramid of Tragedy. It's Pyramid of Death. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying is, what is the most and what is the least tragic type of death? Meaning, like, we talked about, like, your grandparents die and they're in their 90s and they've lived like a full life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the least tragic that death is ever going to get. Meanwhile, if you had died when you were 18 months of like this from the heart condition, that's like as tragic as it gets, right? So we're trying to like sort of find the spectrum, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So like I guess what we're talking about is, what is the least tragic that a death could ever be? What is the most tragic a death could ever be? And then what's in the middle?
We'll fill some in the middle.
Yeah.
I have – so, okay, this sounds – I'm trying to think of a way to phrase this that doesn't sound horrible, but –
I want you to die, Kevin.
You can sign as horrible as you want. You're not going to sound more horrible than me coming out in support of people who killed their families.
Well, I might because I know people. So you said a very young baby dying is like the most tragic.
Well, just like it's more tragic than I don't know that it is.
It's
but
more tragic than someone who's 100 years old dying.
Yeah.
But something to me about like somebody more in the, like somebody young, like maybe like you know, somebody in their early 30s.
Okay.
Who maybe has children.
So
someone who's like, who's lived long enough to make an impression on this world and to create many people who need them and rely on them and love them.
Right.
To me, that's loss almost, on both ends. Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's almost sadder than a baby dying.
Sad. Yeah. I mean, because a baby, it's mostly sad in the abstract sense,
yes.
And it's obviously very, very sad to the family of that baby.
Yes.
But yeah, there hasn't necessarily been much of a footprint on the world from that baby.
It's like a baby's death is sad because it's something that should be so joyful, and then it becomes the utter
baby's
opposite.
Death.
And it's like mystery too,
right?
Because it's like, who would this person have been?
Mm-hmm.
And people can project like, oh, she looked like she had kind eyes and stuff. But there's like a lot of like fiction at work there in terms of like you're projecting like, I don't know, like they could have grown up and been terrible.
It's
so
true.
I do agree like there is something like loss on both ends where it's like you're young enough where your parents still got to bury you, but old enough where your children are as well. You've really hit it, man.
Okay, but, okay,
well,
so
that might be to me.
Here's
IKEA.
A question. Here's a question pertaining to infant deaths. Is it sadder if somebody's baby dies or if you find like a dead abandoned baby? You know what I mean? Like if you find like a dumpster baby as opposed to like a baby that someone like loved with all
a
their heart.
A baby
and,
or a dumpster baby?
Yeah,
what's sadder?
Loved or dumpster baby.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
Oh, I think an abandoned baby. Child because at that point, like, you don't know if there was a chance that the child could have been saved or not. And right. it was just, like, born to, like, someone out of their mind or, like, a junkie.
So it's better or it's worse?
Well, what's this now?
Which is sadder.
Which is sadder?
Yeah. Sadder? Oh, I think the abandoned child.
The abandoned, okay.
Because the abandoned child, like, makes me imagine a child, like, a baby suffering. And that makes me really sad, like, because that's not.
Whereas if it's like a healthy couple is trying to do everything they can, then there's at least like the fight and that's...
Sure.
Yeah, but someone where it's like they literally can't fend for themselves and they just die because they're a child, that's a horrific thing.
But if that child lives, doesn't that kid ends up with a much worse life, right? I mean, that kid was abandoned, so it's that kid's probably – if the kid lives, someone finds the baby in the dumpster, and now it's in, like, an orphanage, and it's raised without parents that love it. Well, so I'm just saying that there's, like, there are other –
a kid in the dumpster could be adopted by – I think there's potential
– It could be Barack Obama.
It could be – yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a dumpsterer.
I know people don't know Barack Obama was found in a dumpster. Show me your birth certificate. Right.
Hillary
covered in trash.
Started the dumpster movement.
That's right.
I finished it.
But I'm just saying that baby. Yeah, you're right. I mean, a baby could grow up to be anything. Both babies could grow up to be anything. Mm-hmm. But one of the babies, it's
the odds are against it.
Yeah, the odds are against it. So,
which would make a triumph even more lovely.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily have an answer myself to which one is the sadder.
Because
they could
be adopted, like my brother and sister-in-law adopted.
Yeah, yeah.
They wanted to adopt too, but they adopted their daughter, you know, who grew up in less than great circumstances.
And it happens. Absolutely. Yeah. But one of the babies we're expecting to live in a loving environment, and the other we're just hoping that it would live in a loving environment that it would get adopted.
I think the odds are against it more in one of the situations, but in both cases there has to be a pretty good amount of hope. Because people who grow up with two good loving parents can also become monsters, you know?
Yeah, people can be unhappy
absolutely.
No matter how their life
But we're goes. Just talking about sad when the baby dies. Yeah. We're not asking ourselves what's going to happen to this kid. It's just that a baby died and no one loved it, and a baby died and its parents loved it. There's an argument to be made.
A baby died and no one loved it makes me sadder. Logically, I understand, like, if there are parents who are sad, that's, like, more sad people, but... Just imagining like an unloved baby.
Yeah.
And it creates in your head like the monstrosity of like humanity that has to occur for that to happen. So then that's sad too, just to think that those people exist in the messed up circumstances that led them to that point.
Because someone who leaves a baby in a dumpster is not a bad person. They're just a suffering person. They're a person whose suffering is so great they've been like, they've been pushed to leave a baby in a dumpster.
Yeah, like literally you would have to be
that
on
makes
some level
sadder.
Out of your mind.
Yeah, that's – so yeah, that to me pushes it over to ultimate sadness.
I think I'm going
to
go with the loved baby.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
Yeah.
And Zig, what do you think?
Yeah, tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Or maker, actually.
Yeah. Tie maker.
We need a tie to be made.
I just – everything that you guys are saying about what makes that baby so sad makes me – like, I don't want to say – those are the things that make me feel more comfortable that it died. Like, it's – like, all that suffering sounds so much worse to me. Like, the other baby was just suffering because it was sick. Zig's on my side.
I have to say dumpster baby seems infinitely more tragic to me because, like, I just picture, like, the person finding the baby. Like, do they hear, like, the crying and, like, they walk?
They don't. It's dead.
The dumpster?
They just find it. They're throwing away their trash. They find the baby. Yeah.
That you drove Zig to hand the microphone back to me. He doesn't want to be a part of this conversation anymore.
This is a harsh one. Let's go away from the baby element of this, and let's now focus on. What would be the saddest animal death?
Oh,
and it doesn't. I mean, I wouldn't. Don't be specific. Like,
an
obviously,
elephant.
Like an elephant's death is the saddest.
Yeah, because that shit's rare.
Wait, elephant death is rare?
Baby.
No, elephant.
Oh, elephant.
Elephant it's rare, and if it dies, it's so sad.
Okay, okay. Madeline really, I assumed this would be Madeline's personal pet, I assumed would outrank the elephant. But
her dog's name is Elephant.
I love my cat, June, more than anything. I hope she lives forever. I kiss her every day. But I think an elephant death is sadder.
What about you, Kevin?
A big, majestic old elephant.
Just drops. That would be sad.
And we all saw The Lion King. Didn't an elephant die in that? There's an elephant's graveyard.
Oh, yeah.
In The Lion King.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot about that.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So, yikes.
So is Lion King the saddest movie that Disney ever made?
Yeah. No, Hunchback of Notre Dame is hands down.
Why? Because it
more than
that's
Bambi.
An outcast. Everybody was so mean to him. That poor guy.
Oh yeah, when Quasimodo sings, hey, yeah, yeah. I love that part. My Esmeralda mess around.
You never saw the movie.
I clearly did not.
I cried.
He was too. He was too ugly. No.
That it movie is. Broke my damn heart.
Why?
Forever.
Could they not get together? Because she was clearly out of his league.
He was so nice. And everybody was so mean to him. And it's the kind of movie where, like, I'm sure, I don't remember specifically, but you know in a movie where, like,
resonated
an outcast
with you
is, like, tricked and he thinks for a second he might get to, like, live in society?
Yeah.
But everybody just was so horrible to him.
Yeah.
And he was so nice.
Oh, that would mess me up. I don't know if I can do that.
It broke my heart. It's not a widely appreciated Disney movie, but I think it has the most
It's probably
pathos.
Hard to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really hard to watch.
So Madeline's vote is Quasimodo for the most tragic animal death. She obviously loves this guy. She's treating him like an animal.
No, elephant. No.
Elephant. Kevin, are you an animal lover? Do you have a pet of your own?
Oh, man. I don't have a pet of my own. I do have a, I do have a dog that I dog sit for often. And his name is Buster, and he's very precious. If you
Buster!
Want to look into his eyes, he's like he's like a Jack Russell, like maybe like a Jack Russell Corgi mix. We're not sure.
So he's a little guy.
He's a little dude. Oh, we just love chilling out, hanging.
What song is this?
I've been looking for it.
Oh, that's a great song.
It's Beyonce. And it's true. Because his owners don't love him like a mom. No. It wasn't like a subtweet. I did post on Instagram, though. So, I love dogs. Had a dog growing up, little chihuahua named Junior. If Buster died, though, I would be depressed for 2 months.
Yeah.
So I want to say Buster. I mean, pop culture right now compels me to say Harambe. We didn't even talk about that. But I feel like Harambe. I feel like we're getting at the tail end.
How would we not talk about Harambe?
We're getting at the tail end of Harambe.
Harambe's 5 minutes are up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harambe Gate
but
is almost over.
His infinity in heaven is about to begin.
That's true.
You don't fully ascend to heaven until your media spotlight has gone away.
That's right. That's his. He's got a letter to his zoo owners on his computer.
Yeah. I'm very intelligent. You kept me in a cage for my whole life. That's certifiable torture.
I will say,
love Harambe.
I didn't
want to upset you while you were still alive. Bye.
Now I'm going down to hell to be a devil.
A little devil.
This week on Fox. What happens when Harambe joins the mix?
We got Harambe in the mix.
Morning Zootopia crew. There's this movie. There's a movie coming out called Sing, which as far as I can tell is like American Idol, but for like the animal kingdom.
Oh, I saw that.
And there's one
preview.
There's one part where the gorilla, who looks a lot like Harambe, is singing, oh, won't you stay with me? And it's like, what are we doing?
What?
Because it feels like, obviously it's not. That movie's been in production for years.
Sure.
A lot of the Harambe stuff is delightful. I do when it crosses it over to harassment of the Cincinnati Zoo.
Yeah.
That's a little
tricky. Oh, right, right.
They had to delete all their accounts on social media. Then to the point where it was like, oh, just DM us if you have a question about the zoo. And someone said, like, oh, can we smoke? Someone DM'd them and said, can we smoke at the zoo? Like, is smoking allowed outdoors? And they're like, oh, no, so sorry. We were non-smoking zoo. And they respond, then why'd you smoke Harambe?
Jesus.
It's equally infuriating.
The poor social media manager of the Cincinnati Zoo.
The Cincinnati Zoo now has internet trolls on display.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'll say Baby Buster.
Baby Buster? Yeah. Carter. Yeah. Okay. I'll go with...
Is that too specific? Just this one dog?
No,
I don't care about
it's
the other
dogs.
Not
too specific. Okay. No, that's great.
I'll go with Madeline's cat, June. Someone Aww. Needs to protect June.
I love her. She's great. I always thought I'd be like cool about. I think I probably have maybe told this exact story on the podcast.
Have you brought her to the podcast before?
Oh, no. She'd run away and get lost in this building forever. She hates going anywhere.
Oh. Well.
But she got hurt last year. Like, she got like attacked by something in her. Her foot got hurt, but she's fine. But dropping her off at the vet, I was like so cool and collected until they like took her, and it was no longer like action time. You know, it was no longer like the adrenaline of like, okay, what do we do? Who do we call? Yeah. And as soon as they like took her behind into the like doctor area, I just like broke down in tears.
Oh no. Because
I was so worried about her. I didn't want her to die.
How old is she?
6.
Oh, you're gonna have a good, healthy.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. She'll live until at least
1 or 2 more
years. 45.
Madeline, real quick. can I talk to you? So, I will say, this is a bummer, but like when my childhood dog passed away 2 years ago, they do have this thing now where you can ask the vet to come to you to put the dog down. Rather than, and I'm sure the cat in that instance too, rather than like you're taking it to a sad, like a new scary environment. That way, so like, so my mom was, and I was so sad I couldn't like fly down, because I would have, I couldn't fly down to be there.
Yeah.
But she was saying like, you know, I was just holding him and that's how he died. Which I just feel like is so much preferable than like, here you go.
Right.
Like
good
taking
luck, buddy.
Like them to the worst, like a place all animals hate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like they probably like know instinctually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So home death.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. All about it.
Home birth, home death. That's what your family's all about.
From HB to HD.
Yeah. Doing it all at home. Mm-hmm.
Folks, invest in a home crematorium for your
family. I would love Mr. Megorium's Wonder Crematorium. Mr. Megorium's Home Crematorium.
The old man who would throw your pen to fire.
But he had the funny lift. Or whatever.
That
Hoffman
was a wild movie. I saw the movie in the theater.
Yeah. Wow.
I rented that movie.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I just fast forwarded to all the scenes with the sock monkey, because I thought that sock monkey was really cute. Because there's one where Jason Bateman's like the big bad business guy, and then he like walks away from the shelf, and the monkey goes like, and like tries to reach out and connect with Jason Bateman. Anyway,
I don't remember a thing about that. I saw that whole movie. I only remember the poster.
Yeah, I only remember the poster too.
Yeah. It's like what a big place. Yeah. Simon.
Well, Kevin, it was really great having you. Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, I loved it.
Anything you want to plug before we say goodbye forever?
Yeah.
is this how you sign off every time? Goodbye forever? I do enjoy
that.
To
the crematorium.
Yeah, here we go. Mr. McGorian, we're coming. You can, just my podcast, Gilmore Guys. You can find that wherever you find podcasts, iTunes, SoundCloud, MySpace, YouTube, we're all there.
Nice.
I think that's all I have to plug.
Great.
Yeah, and then you can follow me at Kevin T. Porter.
Kevin T. Porter.
Any final zings?
Any final zings? Oh, gosh. Gene Wilder, call me when you're Gene Wildest. Is that? I know he just passed away. Well, what made me think of that? Because Mr. McGorm is like just Bobo Willy Wonka, right? And him and Hoffman, same age.
Huh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow.
Interesting thing.
That is interesting.
Although that may not be true, and you're about to get like 1,000 emails. So Kevin Porter actually said a wrong thing.
If all it takes is one mistake to get us 1,000 emails, we'll take it.
Bring them on. Yeah, email us.
Please correct us. Man, people love correcting.
Oh, they correct our pronunciation of sicknesses and disease constantly.
All the time.
Yeah.
Did somebody say disease? Just kidding. I'm sure that joke's been made on this show.
Actually, it hasn't.
Really?
First one.
Okay, well, asked and answered.
The king of Zing is here. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.